Gang Podcast, episode 114. I'm Steve Borsch, and I am on with Tim Elliott.
Hola.
And Graham Thickens.
Good morning to y'all.
And Phil Wilson.
Oh, jeez.
Was that bad?
Watch it, sucker!
All right, well, I was just Geraldine. Then, huh?
Yeah. Well, I was just watching the Pioneers of Television on PBS.
I missed that. Shoot.
And they had a comedy, you know, variety show thing, and they were talking about Flip Wilson and how he sort of changed the way of African-American comics on TV. Everybody loved the guy because he was just so positive. So that's
That was such an interesting time in comedy television. You had the Smothers Brothers and Rowan Martin's Laughing and the Flip Wilson Show, all very politically inclined, but a lot of satire there.
He had Sonny and Cher too.
And Sonny and Cher. Yeah.
Yeah. The late '60s. And then Richard Pryor came on more in the '70s. That kind of was a different breed of,
made them all look like wimps.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah. He was so funny.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, so much for the stroll down memory lane.
Yeah, well, before we go any further, I want to at least acknowledge our brethren in Japan who got nailed by that earthquake. The stuff is still coming out, but just to show that how the net and the web is changing everything dramatically, woke up this morning and found on CNN site just tons of video from there showing helicopter shots of the tsunami waves coming in and everything.
Isn't
else
that amazing?
Yeah, it really is. So rather than flip on the TV and sit and wait for them to possibly show this, it's all on demand. It's right there and you can go through. And I looked at half a dozen videos. Amazing footage. Frightening, but
it looks like the tsunami has hit Hawaii.
It's already hit?
Yep.
Oh,
it's headed for the west coast of the U.S. next.
Yeah. So, Graham, are you going to grab your board and head on over to the west coast?
you don't surf those waves. Did they say what island it's hitting? Or?
Oh, I haven't seen you. I'm doing a podcast right now. I haven't had a chance to look at it.
If it hit the western side of Kauai, there's not a whole lot there. There is on the western side of Oahu, the leeward side of the island, Makaha Beach. So, who knows where it could hit, but they're going to be scrambling for high land maybe, huh?
I was just noticing a scroll on CNN News Online. It says, U.S. ships to stay in Pearl Harbor port. I'm thinking to myself, well, that wasn't a good idea last time. Is that really a good idea this time?
The water could rise there too, you know, but.
I mean, they're showing the waves right now and they're higher waves, but obviously nothing like the 30-foot waves that hit Japan.
Yeah.
But yes, you're right. You can, it's amazing how fast you can access everything that is going on worldwide.
CNN is live blogging this.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah, well, after we record, I'll have to log on and look.
Are they using Cover It Live like we do?
No. It looks like they're just they just got a post open and they just keep updating it with timestamps on it.
Hmm.
Yeah. A lot of video in it. I'll put it in the show notes.
Okay.
Well, first time I've seen a news item that's been live blogged.
Yeah. Hmm. Say, Phil, or somebody, maybe it was you, Tim, had recommended that we chat briefly about the discussion around social analytics.
We had a little gathering yesterday at the Lilidell Yacht Club there along the river. And by the way, the water seems to be open and flowing quite nicely now. We put together just a quick little gathering of social media folks to talk with Josh Bernier at Best Buy, and we discussed a little bit about tracking social and social analytics, and it was a very interesting conversation. we talked a lot about what Best Buy is doing and what they're developing to track things like 12th Force and that sort of thing.
So
we are hoping to put together, you know, more intimate discussions like that in the future, stuff with, you know, not 200-300 people, but maybe 30 or 40 people or even right. 10 or 12. So,
well, nice. One thing I'm curious about, was there a discussion around the trade-off of privacy for targeted advertisements or about analytics? Because it's you know, I get the daily deal through Living Social and get the Groupon stuff and so forth, and got one this morning about photo facial or 20 units of Botox for only $149.
Hey.
And I thought, oh, there you go.
Wait a minute.
The internet
not,
knows, Steve.
Yeah, right. They know I need Botox. Thanks, Flip. Anyway, but that's one of the things I've always looked at is, you know, what's the trade-off of privacy versus, you know, enabling myself to get stuff that I care about and not
well,
all the
and,
other
you
stuff.
Know, it didn't come up necessarily as a topic last okay. night, but you're exactly right that you need to draw that line. And it kind of comes back to what I've always said, you know, as marketers, we hop on this bandwagon of social media and see this opportunity to reach, you know, reach consumers with our message. And you realize that social media is not about a marketing channel or an advertising channel. Social media is about being social in discussion. You got to figure out the best way to integrate yourself in that. And then yeah. also be able to offer opt in, opt out for all the participants. Otherwise you basically just piss people off.
Well, I've been watching what's been going on around South by Southwest with all of the release. Cause I know you, Graham, you're getting all these press releases as well. About
yeah,
new startups.
I'm not getting a whole lot for South by Southwest yet, but I am on the press list. So I'm kind of surprised I'm not getting more, but they're definitely popping through and people think I'm there and I'm obviously not.
Yeah.
I wish I could be, but it's just too big and too much expense to get down there. And
it's a great party. It really
oh
is.
Oh my
great
God.
Party.
Yeah. It's, you know, but I thought it was so funny. Did you see that post that Alexia did on TechCrunch about a week ago? I'm already sick of South by Southwest. You know,
yeah.
It's like she's already OD'd on
oh,
it, you
man.
Know, and I retweeted it and I added a little, my favorite line. From a column that my friend Rich Karlgaard once did. The title of it was "The Incredible Burden of Hip." You know, it's just like it's just so hip, and you know, 159,000 cool kids, you know, all in one place, and
all armed with you know, smartphones and laptops to make sure that the world knows that they're the
oh
kids down
God.
At South by Southwest. Yeah. So yeah, it's yeah, we're going to be inundated soon.
Oh, yeah, it's, you know, but we can watch it from afar and see everything that's going on. That's the beauty of it. We just can't experience the parties and the music and the beer and all that. But
well, but, you know,
you know
the one thing about what's going on, though, but with all these releases is it's almost like it's a grand experiment. So Posterous just came out with a new mobile app so you can actually on the spot create geolocated events. So, you know, I'm going to start a meetup at such and such a bar on 6th Street in Austin, and everybody can come and join and they can take pictures and everything goes up to this one site. And you know, obviously all the QR code stuff that's emerging and so on.
So it's like we're organizing flash mobs now.
Well, you know,
bringing a little bit more organization to that.
But in a way, but you just brought it up though, Phil, when you said, you know, everybody's got a smartphone.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's walking around with, you know, Samsung
Looking
Galaxies
down.
Or Android or
running
iPhones
into things.
Or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
You're right. Right.
I wonder how many QR codes are around the streets of Austin.
Oh my God.
I bet you they're everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, I just got an invite to a party that had a QR code. Now, granted, it's an agency that I don't know if you guys know the Idea Park guys. They're having their spring equinox party, and they sent out a postcard that said RSVP by scanning the QR code below or by visiting ideapark.com/party. And here's this little QR code. Well, of course, I scanned the QR code, and it's for me. It was personalized.
Aww.
I thought that
yeah,
was
they're
awesome.
Really into that. So is this a party at South by Southwest or here in town, you mean?
Here in town.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of agency people going down to that. You know, it's such a big promotional thing. I mean, you know, the branding agencies are all over it. You know, I mean, isn't Pepsi like the major sponsor? And
yeah, they usually are. Yeah.
You know, and I have friends at Fallon and, you know, the local MEMA folks, the agency folks are all over it. It's like a huge promotion fest, you know. For the big brands, that's kind of what it is. Isn't that kind of what this thing's turning into? I mean,
well, that's been one of the complaints about it, that directionally, that's where it's going.
Yep. Yeah, it's about the masses now. You know, it started out as a thing for the insiders, but the insiders are almost getting drowned out now. You know, the early adopters with the mass marketing types that are all over it.
Yeah. So once again, yeah. Phil, the social analytics thing, was it more skewed toward mobile or just social?
It was,
in general?
Just more than anything, just discussing, you know, what to measure, where to measure it, how to measure it, you know, looking at various tools, you know, aggregation tools and some of the things. Josh brought an interesting perspective of some things that they're working on to sort of wrangle this stuff. And it was really, it just turned into a really nice discussion about, you know, what's important to measure. We spent a lot of time talking about Twitter, obviously. Josh and the guys at Best Buy have a lot invested in 12 Force and that sort of thing. And yeah. We found it kind of interesting. I asked him because, you know, Edison Research teased the release of their updated social habits study, which comes out here in a week, but that points out that Twitter is excruciatingly well known. You know, 92% of Americans have heard of Twitter or are aware of Twitter, while only 8% actually use it. And we talked a lot about
that.
That's what it was. That's the result of their study. It's very low. You know, well, I mean, you think about it, social media folks like us use the crap out of it, and people that want to see what, you know, Charlie Sheen's latest episode is uses it. But that's really, I mean, if you take a look at your Twitter stream, how many real people, quote unquote, real people, you know, do you follow or follow you? So, and how do you determine it? I mean, if I get one more request or one more I'm following you from another social media expert, I'm going to, you know,
Nuts. Well, by using it, I wonder if they mean have an account, though, because you can view it without having an account.
Yeah, and exactly.
That 8% seems low to me. If it includes people who are just viewing, you'd think it would be a lot higher than that. But, you know, when it's being blasted out on practically every damn commercial and print ad and everything else you hear, you know, follow us on Twitter, you know, or, I mean, every ad you see practically has it mentioned, you know.
I'm really looking forward to your tweets, though, Phil. And if you're on Facebook, follow me on my page.
What?
That's a classic, you know, automated.
Oh, yeah, the automated.
Automated direct message, which then provokes me to unfollow that person.
Yeah, exactly.
And it always starts I'm really looking forward to your tweets.
I still believe that if you are active or are, you know, have text messaging and a Facebook, that's really all you need right now. I really believe that's where the focus is. Facebook is still, and Josh said that, you know, they spend about, 50% of their time on Facebook, you know, analyzing Facebook as well. Twitter's just, you know, Twitter's an easier thing to analyze. And there are so many tools out there to do it.
Yeah. Well, I think it
depends on the business. So the wineries that I work with, you know, it's a place-based business and there's so much emphasis on getting people in to visit them that Yelp is also in the essential tool bag. I agree with you on Twitter. Twitter's kind of an optional thing to drive traffic to your website or whatever. But Facebook and Yelp are really the two linchpins for location-based businesses like wineries.
Well, and how about Foursquare for the restaurant folks? I mean, we sure hear all about that.
I think Yelp is more engaging, and there's more people that use Yelp to find places to go. I mean, I know I do it all the time. I'll be in San Francisco or wherever, and I'll just pull Yelp up on my phone and filter for a restaurant and just find a place and go there.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think a lot of people use it. like that.
Well, I can tell you one thing about analytics. There's enough spammers using some level of analytics or bots. So do not, under any circumstances, put the word iPad in a tweet. For like the next week.
Please do not.
Do not, because I'm telling you, the bots will go wild over, win a free iPad 2.
And no. Hey, you know that's coming out today, by the way.
Oh, hey, wait a minute. I've been selected to get a free Motorola Zoom. You're saying that's not true? I was all excited about that.
I'm sorry, Tim.
And you can use it to help move some money into some Kuala Lumpur.
And there's really no Easter Bunny. It was your mom and dad, just so you know.
What about the Tooth Fairy, though? That's got to be legit. Yeah.
That's got to be legit. Hey, listen, guys, we have a guest today, and we probably ought to bring him on. Justin Grammons is our guest, and Justin is a partner of mine in Mobile March, which comes up next week. But he's also spearheading Mobile 3D demos, dinner and drinks, which is the night before Mobile March. And Justin has put together, I believe, either 10 or 12 demos. How many is it, Justin?
We've got 10.
10 demos.
That's right. Justin.
Hello.
Hey. Welcome.
Hello. And is this sort of like you know, mini demo style where everyone doesn't have PowerPoints and they just get up there and go for a few minutes?
Well, it's going to have some of the mini demo aspects. You know, people, of course, they're going to have the option to bring their laptop and show off their wares, talk about their company. Ideally, their stuff's actually going to be on a handheld device. And so I'm kind of pushing them to try and actually show it with a video camera. So we'll have a video camera mounted pointing downward, and we'll have two screens going. One of them that, you know, that they would be able to plug their computer in if they don't have it on a device, or it doesn't actually need to be a device type of you know, application either. We've got one of them is called Effort Tracker, which is basically a mobilized website. It will work on devices, but it also is, you know, it's a web-based, web-backed solution as well. So they may or may not, they might just maybe show it on a simulator that's actually on a computer. So but the whole point of it is to keep it short, concise, in that sort of spirit of mini demo. People will get 6-7 minutes or so to talk about their product. One sort of twist that we're doing is we're actually going to take one question from the audience. So, and of course, the person who did the demos gets a chance to actually, you know, select who they want to have. So you could maybe plant somebody in the audience if you wanted to ask the question, you know, but that I think will be a little bit of a different twist, because then it actually will allow some sort of feedback, because the whole mini demo thing is, you know, get up to your stuff and then disappear. And sometimes I feel like, well, what did I just miss here? You know, is this, I just didn't get it, you know, maybe I wanted to ask a question, you know. So we want to keep it short, concise. Everyone will have 8 to 9 minutes total, but, you know, 6 to 7 of those minutes will be just on presentations, and then like a minute or so will be on a question.
Cool. Now, there isn't really like a theater type thing at Coco. This is at Coco, right?
Yeah.
So it'll just be in a large room or in the main atrium kind of area, or how are you doing it?
There is a large section that we have there that we think will be able to accommodate everyone. So yeah, there's not going to be theater style seating, but there will be a couple screens and chairs for most of the people that are there. You know, this is going to have that sort of mini demo vibe too, where we'll do networking on one section of the room, mm-hmm. and then the other section of the room will just be for demos.
Sure. About how many do you think might show at the event? Any ideas yet, or?
Well, we're looking at 100. So, you know, this is a smaller version of mini demo. It's sort of the mobile version.
Yeah, but that that's a nice sized group, and
it is a good sized group.
It's a great venue, and so yeah, I've been inviting people and looking forward to it.
Justin, could you just briefly run down the demos that'll be showcased?
Sure. We've got Aaron Cardell. He's a local developer. Has developed a couple of their iPhone things, you know, various products, applications, stuff like that. The latest one he's working on is a thing called Locate My Deal. So it's kind of a Groupon type deal, but it's being able to share them. And that's an iPhone based deal. application. So he'll be showing that off. We've got the effort tracker one that I talked about. Basically, it's can utilized by teachers for in their classroom to kind of judge students how they're doing, their grading, their scores, all that sort of stuff. And that could have been done, like I say, on a website, but we actually did it in a mobile like a mobilized version of the website. So it'll work on multiple devices. We got Matt Bauer from Pedal Brain. He's going to be talking about doing cycling solutions with hardware. He owns a local company here doing iPhone integrated with Apple hardware. We've got Scrimmage, which is, they have a product called Playbook, which is allowing people to use iPads or tablets, I guess, at conferences and or corporate events and meetings, stuff like that, and allowing them to kind of just interact, get information about the particular event, and also be able to take online quizzes and all that sort of stuff. So that cool. that one's really neat. That's kind of an iPads app. We've got Red Stamp. They allow you to send stylish, personalized, and notes effortlessly is what they say. And so they have, it's basically, it's an iPhone app where you can choose the type of template, be able to write your own note, put your own type stationery and stuff like that on there, and you can actually send physical notes out to people, or you can email them or share them on Facebook, all that sort of stuff. So that's another local company called Red Stamp.
You know what's funny about that, if I can just interject?
Yeah.
is talking to my daughter and six of her friends at a Caribou Coffee one day and asking them the question, would you guys send out paper invitations when you get married? And they looked at me like, well, only because my mom would make me. Well, what about the RSVPs? And I explained about the card with a little piece of tissue and so on and so forth. And they looked at me like I had three heads. What are you nuts? None of our friends would RSVP with paper and a thing with a stamp on it. And so I look at solutions like this, and it's pretty interesting. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Sure. No. It's definitely a sign of the times. You know, everything's moving digital. Bullseye Factory is a 3D shooter game that's based around the iPhone 4's gyroscopes. So it's a first person 3D shooter game. Daybreak Heroes is another company here. They have a game for the iPhone that it's related to social and gaming. It's kind of like a teenage superhero type style game. There's another game called Puzzle Pegs that we're having demo their stuff, and it's an iPhone based game, it's kind of more of like a mind game. So that should be kind of fun. And then we got one called Who's Near, and it's a social connecting app. Runs on the iPhone and Android, and people are able to connect and interact with each other in kind of a localized setting. And they are hoping to have their product released by the time of this event, and so people would actually be able to, you know, that night, be able to download the app and start connecting, I guess, actually at the event.
Cool.
You know what? So, I will say, Justin, that this is an amazingly impressive group of mobile developers and mobile apps. I mean, you go through this stuff and you realize, oh my gosh, there's some incredible talent, some great product here.
Yeah, for sure. Really is.
Yep.
These companies, it's all handy to go.
So, Justin, as you were doing your rundown, almost every time you were mentioning the iPad or the iPhone, and Android didn't seem to be kind of part of the scene there. As a developer, is that sort of the sign of the way that this tablet platform is really developed around the iPad only, and not really about around the Android or other tablets yet?
Well, with regards to tablets, yeah. I mean, I think the iPad definitely has, 6 to 9 months, you know, what have you, advantage over Android, because Android hasn't really had a good platform for that. Really, you know, the honeycomb versions that are just hitting the market now will change that in 2011. But yeah, as it stands right now, if you want to start developing for a tablet size screen, you've really haven't had any devices to start writing for until the Motorola Zoom just came out this past month. So yeah, I mean, it's, you know, when I went out and kind of pound the pavement to try and find people to speak at these things, You definitely, I just open it up and say, okay, you know, what's the market willing to share? What do people want to talk to me about? I could care less if anybody came in and gave me BlackBerry, you know, or Windows Phone 7 or Nokia, you know, application. I really didn't care. I just basically left it to the ecosystem to decide. And this is kind of what happened, you know, what came back. So we've got, I would say probably, you know, 75% of them are going to have some sort of a iPhone iPad relation. But I think over, you know, I bet next year it's going to be a different game. You know, I think there's going to be a lot more of this. I talked about Effort Tracker and this mobile web. I think there's going to be a lot more of those because people, when they get done creating these iPhone things and they're like, oh, that's nice. Now I got to start over and write it for Windows Phone 7. You know, if I could have found some sort of cross platform or some sort of a cross development tool, that might help me. But yeah, as it stands right now, it definitely is a iPad market.
Justin, if you were to stop and look at the last few years of development, does anybody start on Android or BlackBerry, or does everybody start to develop on iPhone? That's the starting point.
No, I think there's definitely a lot of people that start on those other platforms.
You think so? Okay.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I think a lot of people have that background. I mean, BlackBerry and Android are both, you know, based in Java. And so if you have that background in Java, you're much more likely just to continue to use that language and start developing in Android. I think the tools haven't been there to kind of write cool games. And that's starting to change now, definitely with the newer versions of Android to actually come out and compete with that. I also think that Java programs just notoriously are more on the enterprise side. Mm-hmm. They're more just kind of writing stuff on the server, and it's like, yeah, Android's kind of fun and it's kind of cool, but we haven't really seen this is their mindset. You know, yeah, I haven't really seen a reason for me to quit my day job and go out and start developing apps. Where, you know, you had all this huge gold rush basically coming to the App Store, you know, a year and a half, 2 years ago, and there were a lot of people that were like, wow, I can make some dollars here. You know, and I can create a cool game, and there's already, you know, X millions of iPhones out there, where Android was still kind of on the up and coming.
So, you know, so, I got a question for you about an article that I read a couple days ago, and it was about the Windows Marketplace for Windows Phone 7 apps had hit 9,000 apps, and they expected to hit 10,000 by the middle of March. And I don't hear a lot of discussion about that. I'm not certain where how many Android phone apps there are right now. And clearly, you know, the open source space is going to have more acceleration in it. But I hear almost zero buzz and discussion about Windows Phone 7. And I'm curious about it from your standpoint. Is it such a significantly different paradigm for development that you, for example, would only develop on iPhone or Android versus Windows Phone 7, or is it one where you could probably create for each platform independently and without a tremendous amount of effort?
Well, it's written in a different language, you know, so it's using all of Microsoft's tools. So if you were to take, you know, a programmer that has done either iPhone or Android and said, okay, here's a Windows laptop, start developing, they are going to be, they're not going to know anything at all. It's going to be completely foreign to them. So there is a learning curve there. For a company, you know, like the company that I run, we are definitely getting into that Windows Phone 7 market though. We're not seeing, a whole lot of interest yet, but definitely a lot of people kind of dipping their toes in and saying, well, what would it cost? You know, what would I gain? What's the market share looking like? You know, is this thing really going to solidify, you know? And my personal feeling is I think that it will. I think there's going to be three big players. If you fast forward probably 2 years from now, I think there will be, you know, Google, Microsoft, and Apple. I mean, I think they're all going to be fighting for that stuff. And I don't know who's going to win that battle, but I definitely think it's not just going to be one out of those three that's just dominating the market. I think the playing field's probably going to level out.
Well, doesn't Apple have such a huge lead right now, especially in tablets, where it's going to be very difficult for any other platform, as good as, or as cheap as it might be, to really come in and make any kind of significant inroads?
Well, I personally think that Apple had such a huge lead on the iPhone as well, you know, probably 24 months ago or even 18 months ago. And Android has, as you keep seeing more and more, more and more articles coming out is, you know, Android is starting to actually sell more than
according to ComScore, they've got 32% of the market right now. And Apple's at 24%, and RIM is actually there. It's like, what is it? I can't remember now off the top of my head. I think it was like 30%. It's actually down 5% since October of last year. So, it's changing rapidly. Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's, we've seen that happening with phones. I don't see why we shouldn't see that happen with tablets too.
Exactly. Well, listen, we ought to probably also comment on Mobile 3D. We have a little bit of an international flavor for folks that are coming to Mobile 3D. And there are actually some seats still available for that, by the way. We have a guest coming from Sweden. Telecom City is the name of his group. His name is Richard Leiden. And he'll be visiting from Sweden. I'm just going to make a stop by Mobile 3D, and we're going to give him 10 minutes to tell us a little bit about Telecom City, this organization, this group that's been put together to help, foster innovation in telecommunications in Sweden. So he'll be there with us as well.
I wonder if he knows the Angry Birds guys in Finland. For a minute, I thought you were going to say they were going to be there, but they're a little busy. They're a little busy depositing that $40 million or whatever.
They've got a much bigger name on the other line.
Excel partner.
But no, we're happy that Ernest Grimples from Merchant Gould put that together for us.
So great.
And Harlan Jacobs is going to be there as well. So thank you to those guys. And speaking of Ernest and Merchant Gould, let's make sure we give props to our sponsors. And that's Merchant Gould, New Council, at the Nerdery, and LiveFront are sponsoring our first time Mobile 3D event. So we thank them for that.
Yeah, if it wasn't for the lawyers in this town, we wouldn't have half the events going on. I can't believe the marketing of the entrepreneurial lawyers, you know, but that's marketing, I guess.
So, Justin, if you don't mind, I'll just pop in here that we released another 25 tickets for Mobile March in the last couple of days. So there are a scant few tickets left for Mobile March, and you can join us.
Yep. Yeah, so, for sure. It's going to be a big event.
So thanks very much. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that's Mobile 3D is a week from today already.
That's right. That means we got work to do, dude.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Justin.
And the domain is mobilemarchtc.com, right?
Yep.
That's it.
All right.
Thank you, Justin. Appreciate it.
Oh, for sure. Thank you, guys. Anytime.
Get to work.
Yeah, looking forward to your event. It sounds great.
Great. It'd be great to see y'all there.
You bet. We'll be blogging, baby.
Perfect.
Thanks.
Take care. Have a good one.
You too.
Bye-bye.
So yeah, we're planning on doing the podcast for Mobile March, are we not?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Saturday.
Yep. Well, what time does the event get officially started? Is it a 9 a.m. start or
8 a.m. start?
When will we do our podcast? Maybe we'll have to do it during a morning break.
We could do it over lunch or something like that.
That would be cool.
Yeah. Yep.
So we're anxious to get rolling on Mobile March. It should be a lot of fun. So thanks very much to Innovate for being a sponsor as well. So thank you very much.
And to Remain Calm for being a sponsor.
Yeah, that's me, baby.
There you go.
That's me, baby.
Are there other sponsors we should be mentioning, or did you already?
Also, let's talk about the sponsors for Mobile March real quick. And those lovely sponsors include Recursive Awesome, Remain Calm, Focus. But we really, really are grateful to our gold sponsors, who are Best Buy, Verizon Wireless, Microsoft, Fusion Room, and PDS. We really appreciate them joining us for Mobile March. And listen, we couldn't do it without them. Yes, it is a paid event, but the amount of effort that goes in, money goes into basically providing a quality event. We don't want this to necessarily just be grab a slice of pizza and join us for a little discussion. This is we take great pride in this event. So,
the mobile space, I think, is going to be successful.
Yeah. You know, I think I may catch on.
Yeah. I think I might.
Might.
So that's good.
Oh gosh.
Well, yeah. Again, it's a labor of love for Justin and myself and Linda, and we work very hard at putting together a conference we hope people will enjoy and will get a lot out of. Again, it's a rapidly changing space. You know, last year we had nothing on tablets, and this year it's very much tablets. So tablets and the Windows phone, Windows 7 platform, and a lot of the changes. So we're very excited about it.
Well, you know, one of the things, speaking of that I find personally frustrating is, you know, I own the Adobe Creative Suite, multiple copies of it for our office, and we just bought one for one of our outsourced designers, and the amount of, or I should say, the quality of the output, you know, that you can create with Adobe InDesign, for example, and Photoshop, is incredible, and yet we don't really have the tools to publish to the iPad other than in PDF. I mean, they're starting to emerge very, very slowly. But because everything has a server-based component to push content to the tablet devices, they're baking in not only the price of the tools, but then the monthly nut that you have to pay to buy the server time. And I just keep thinking about the fact that, geez, wouldn't it be great if we just develop an HTML5 app and just make it available in the browser or something. I mean, and not even bother with these tools. Are you guys seeing tools that are not developer oriented, that are higher level tools emerging? Are you seeing anything yet?
Yes. I blogged about one at Demo.
Tell us about it.
Well, it was an outfit from my favorite other country besides the good old US of A, Australia. It was the Australian startup Mobile Nation, which I believe their URL is mobilenationhq.com. And they introduced a tool that's drag and drop, build your own app. But it's not for native apps right now.
Okay.
But that's coming, and it's pretty easy for anyone, you know, non-technical, to build an app. Now, this is not the first such tool. I mean, there's a number of, you know, do it DIY tools,
right,
for building apps, and we've even had some local here coming out of the woodwork, it seems to me, that have demoed at Mini Demo. I'm trying to remember the name of the local firm. So, you know, these are highly simplified apps, and obviously, you know, they aren't for complex kinds of things. But the tools are going to be getting better and better, and this one, Mobile Nation, looked pretty good.
Okay.
I think that Steve was going for not just the build your own app stuff, but ways that you can publish that's more tablet friendly.
Right.
And you know, Apple needs to build sort of a HyperCard for tablets.
Bingo.
And I think that they're the ones that are uniquely qualified to do that.
Well,
it's astounding with all the technologies that they have with QuickTime and, you know, all the apps that they've built, even like iWeb, is as crazy as that is, they haven't built anything to author on the iPad and do rich multimedia kinds of things that real people could do.
Well,
and
you know,
it seems like a huge missed opportunity for them.
I couldn't agree
more.
They have
to be working on it. You know, I mean, none of us knows what Apple's working on.
Well, that's true. You know? But also, I would argue that until the space continues to accelerate, that they want only really jaw-dropping type applications. They don't want every schneeb in the world being able to,
right,
you know, turn out schlocky-looking stuff. But to your point, Tim, about iWeb, I remember when that first came out, I realized that, oh my God, this could be the page layout for the web. That they really, they had done such an incredible job of being able to, you know, drag and drop images in and things like that and resize things. And then when you did the export, it automatically optimized the pings, for example. as
images. Why didn't it catch on then, Steve? Well, because they never, you know, you hear talk about it.
Because they developed it.
Gave up on it.
They just gave up. Yeah, they just kept delivering it as a, as a cheesy, Joe Sixpack, I'm going to build a website kind of tool and publish to Mobile Me, right? And so that's a great, that's fine. There's a lot of demand for that and so forth. But, I think about all of the corporate people out there that aren't building things, publications or catalogs and things of that nature for a smartphone or for a tablet because the tools aren't there. And so how many more tablets could be sold? How many companies would buy a $499 tablet and just give it to a customer so that they could run their catalog on it?
There's an article.
Be patient, lad. Be patient.
There's an article in the Pioneer Press this week that featured a author in Austin, I want to say. Anyway, she's made hundreds of thousands of dollars selling novels digitally through iBooks and Amazon and Barnes & Noble and so forth, right? How many more stories like that of people that could author content would there be if Apple came up with a really nice tool that was easy for people to use? I think there would be an explosion of content out there. And it's just astounding that they've had this year advantage in the market. They're clearly going to dominate the space for a long time. And they still haven't done this, which seemed to me like self-evident from day one.
Well, except though, I had a buddy of mine who's an artist, a sculptor, a graphic designer. He does restaurant concepts. I mean, he's like everything that I wish I had in terms of my creative capabilities. Plus he's funny as hell. And we were talking and I was bringing this up. We were having this conversation about, because he uses Quark Express and we're talking about developing for the iPad and so forth. And he looked at me and he said, yeah, I agree there'd be an explosion in content. Just like there was an explosion in podcasts, Steve. How well did you do with yours, right? How many cheesy ones are out there?
Just like everything else, though. I mean, there's going to be a long tail of content, and there's going to be a lot of bad stuff. But there's going to be a lot of good stuff, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and there's going to be people like Leo Laporte and Adam Carolla and, people emerging in the space. But, that young woman that you brought up that had sold at USA Today estimated that she had generated about $465,000 in revenue in January through all of her ebook sales through the Kindle and through the iBook store. And she's from Austin, Minnesota.
You're kidding.
No.
I didn't know. Lives there now?
Yeah. She's buying a bigger house now, apparently, but
yeah, I guess. I'll put some links in the show notes.
Oh, you've got the author?
Yeah, I've got the articles. Yeah.
Because it's also covered in HuffPo too, so.
Yeah, Amanda Hawking is her name.
Mm-hmm.
And wow. Very inspiring article.
Well, yeah, if Apple would spend more time on that kind of stuff instead of all this, all this stuff you can do in iPhoto and create all these books and all this other stuff, it's like, yeah, that's fine, but is that really what people want to do, is create all these photo books and...
Actually, they do.
They do. Yeah. Yes, yeah. They do.
Yeah. God, and get print, then order prints of them. Of course, they make money like mad off of that. But
can I tell you something?
If they would direct a little of that application development work towards web, tools, like you're saying, it sure makes sense.
I don't understand why they
totally abandoned HyperCard. I mean, I thought that was a great application development environment.
That was John Sculley.
Why they abandoned it, huh?
But it was invented under the first Steve Jobs administration. So you'd think that Steve would want to bring something like that back.
Yeah, good point. Yeah.
All right, get Bill Atkinson on the line and have him write it up, whatever it is.
Oh, man. Well, Phil, you're kind of quiet.
I'm sorry.
He's getting ready for Mobile March. He's got a crap load of stuff to do.
You know, whenever Tim gets into a long conversation, I like to let him roll.
because he's, you know, he's kind of our John Entwistle of the Who. He's kind of our quiet one. So I always kind of like to let him roll.
Oh, great. I'm the guy that died in Vegas.
Oh, jeez. Oh,
dude, they all die eventually. What, would you rather be the Keith Moon?
That's true.
Yes, you kids, you young whippersnappers, we're talking about a classic rock group. But anyway, listen, we probably ought to just kind of do a rundown of what's coming up here in the coming weeks. Good point. Besides, and again, appreciate the love on Mobile March and Mobile 3D, but we've got some other things coming up, including Cloud Camp on the 23rd of March, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Cloud Camp, and they're doing real well in terms of tickets being snapped up. And this year, the event, last year's event was still... It's kind of exploratory, I think, in terms of a lot of people in the audience. But this year, there's so many other solutions that are available for platforms from a hosting standpoint that I think that it's going to be an amazingly well-attended event.
This is at least the third year, Steve.
Yeah, I know, but I didn't go the first year, so I could only compare it to last year.
Frame of reference.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, that event was, the first event was BS before Steve.
That's right. So. There you go.
No,
thanks.
It was actually a good one. It was, heck, there were more than 100 people at that thing.
Oh, somebody's mobile phone's going off.
That would be mine.
Oh, man, he's in demand.
Decline, baby. Decline. Okay.
We also have, Tim, you've got MSP WordPress is coming up on the 24th.
That's 24th, yep, regular meeting. So I'm not sure. I haven't seen the agenda yet, but I'm sure there'll be some good sessions.
We're all going to talk about carbo loading and caffeine inducing for the overnight website challenge, which comes up 2 days later on the 26th.
Yeah, we've already had that conversation.
So. Ah, good. And then mini webcom slated for the U on the 11th of April.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Another Saturday event, right?
It is.
Is that Saturday?
Yeah.
That's when they normally do it. I guess it must be. Yeah. Or wait a minute. No, it's a Monday.
A Monday, yeah.
Didn't they do that thing on Saturday last year?
No, that was a...
It was a weekday, wasn't it? Yeah.
Okay, there you go.
And I just heard from the folks over at Mojo in the last couple of days. They've put together a Mojo mixer on April 13th. You can find out more about that at mojominnesota.com. They're describing it as speed dating for entrepreneurs. So those entrepreneurs.
Who are they dating? Who are they dating with? I guess it's the lawyers and consultants that are
VCs probably
VCs
sponsoring the event.
Hopefully VCs and angels.
Or is it for female entrepreneurs to meet male entrepreneurs?
No.
Hookups.
Would you stop?
He thinks not.
Well, that could work too. You know, that's Mojo, isn't it?
That's more Mojo, baby.
Oh, man. Well, and I just want to announce on this podcast that I'm thinking about turning Amish and just walking away from everything and getting a little wagon with a couple of horses.
I give you about 15 all minutes technology. In that lifestyle.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I give you 15 minutes in that lifestyle. The first time you're asked to churn butter, that's it. You're out of there.
Yeah.
There's got to be an app for that.
Or build a barn.
Yeah. I think I could see Steve building a barn. He'd be rocking it, Dad.
I could see him with that hat, though. He looks like he could pull the hat off.
I could pull that off. Yeah.
Oh my God, I'm seeing the graphic on the post here.
Oh no!
Right. Photoshop.
We just suggested the Photoshop graphic. We're all going to be building a barn, wearing hats. Oh yeah, look for our faces to be superimposed on an Amish person's bodies,
right? With black suits on. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Carrying our iPhones.
That's better than the barbershop quartet. That's for sure.
Oh my God!
Hey, I thought that was epic, my friend.
All right.
Well, listen, have a great week. We'll be doing our podcast from Mobile March next week. So
on Saturday,
some mobile folks to chat a little bit. And then the following week, I think we'll be able to talk a little bit about journalism and AOL. And we hope to have guest Derek from Lakeville Patch.
Yeah. Which I think will be very interesting because I have a high degree of interest in local and what's happening with local journalism specifically.
Yeah, they've hired like 1,200 people to do that all over the country, right. I guess.
Yeah.
AOL. And I'll be interested to see how if that's in peril now with this round of job cuts.
No, I think that's their strategy. They're going to do the patch thing and they're just getting rid of everybody else.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
We'll find out more.
Except for the free HuffPo writers. They're going to keep them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good deal for them. They don't want to miss that.
We're talking cash flow there. So.
Yeah.
Yep.
Look for Derek Williams from Lakeville Patch coming up in a couple of weeks.
All right, gentlemen. Well, have a great one, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah. On the Pivot Gang podcast. See you guys.
All righty.
Yep. See you later on this afternoon, Steve, at the Apple Store.
Right. No.
5 o'clock. Oh, you got to get in line about 3, though.
Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. It'll be a party.
You know what? It'll be like the iPhone where I did not queue up on Friday and thought, okay, well, I'll go to the store on Saturday. And I went the next day and there was nobody in line. Just walked in and bought one.
Yep.
There you go. So, yep. All right. There's a strategy.
Yeah, but I have a perfectly usable iPad that, frankly, I put on Craigslist just to see what I could get for it, and it's 64 gig priced at $550 with a fairly new leather case. And I had a guy try to talk me down yesterday. Yeah. I had one nibble. So it's I'm not going to, I paid with accessories, I paid like almost $900 when everything was all said and done with this thing, and I'm not going to just walk away from this. It's perfectly good.
It's still very usable. And
but they dropped the price $100 for all the closeout ones.
Yeah, so I know.
You get a brand new one at Apple for what, $5.99 or $6.99?
Yeah, for a 64 gig. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. So what do I do? Sell for half price?
I don't know.
What will the market bear?
Who knows? Yeah. Look on eBay.
Yeah, eBay will tell you.
I hate eBay. I do local only. Okay. Well, anyway. Yeah.
mumble.
Yeah, I know. Take care, gents.
Have a great week, guys, as I said.
Yes. Indeed. Good luck. Good luck, Phil.
Thanks.
Take care.
Ready.
Yep. Hey, 48 degrees today. Get out your shorts.
Yeah.
Woo, baby. Springtime.
All righty.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
Over and out.
Over and out.